we are beginning our, I guess, last unit on Bishlakum today. So let's get started. So we've discussed a lot of the details of and the machlokos, the primary machlokos that we have in Bishlakum. But today we're going to get into the issue of what happens when you have a suffix Bishlakum. What happens if you're not sure whether this is a violation of Bishlakum or not? So in general, whenever we talk about suffix anything, it's important to realize what is and what is not a suffix, meaning not every time a person is unsure about something does it necessarily make it a suffix. If a person is stamen amaretz, doesn't know anything, so that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a suffix. But let's say you have an actual genuine suffix, either in Metzius or in Halacha. You're either not sure what happened, or there's a machlokas. There's a machlokas between the Shach and the Taz. There's a machlokas. Mechaber Ramah. Would you consider that a suffix? Meaning, let's say, we'll get to it later. We'll get to it a little bit later. But let's see first in terms of suffix and Metzius. So the Torah writes, in Simchot Yud Gimel, as you all saw this morning, the Torah writes, Hiniach Yisrael al gabe eish v'hiniach ov de gilulim l'shomro. The Jew puts the food on the fire, and he leaves it under the watchful eye of the guy. Meaning, that's the key. The key is, you left it. You don't know what happened. You think all he's doing is whatever hafachbo means in the Gemara, or he's stirring it or something. Point is, you left it. You left it with someone else. And once you left it with someone else, you have no idea what actually happened. So you can assume, you'd like to assume, he probably didn't do, but vein yodua, im silko of the glulim achlo gilamachl ben drusay im lav. As far as you know, he might have taken it off the fire before it got to Machl ben drusay and then put it back on the fire. And according to the Mechaber, at least, that would create an isser of Bishlakum. So you don't know. Hareza mutter. That's mutter. He does say why. Vein chosh and shemesuk. You don't have to worry that maybe he was misalik. Why? The suffik devrayim lahakel. Very simply, suffik drabanim lakula. And we can rely on suffik drabanim lakula. Says the Birgra, there's a gavaldik araya for what the Torah is saying. That if you're not sure if he took it off or didn't take it off, he's the Torah is not explaining a Gemara. He's not explaining a previous case that we ever discussed anywhere. He's just telling us, now that we've learned Bishlakum, it's important to know that when you have a suffix Bishlakum, we would go suffix Drabanan Lakula. However, the Biragra says there's a Gevaldik Araya that the Torah is correct, because the Gemara seems to make an assumption that suffix Drabanan Lakula would apply to Bishlakum. That the Gemara seems to make an assumption that Savitz Rabban Lakula would apply to Bishlakum. Where does the Gemara make an assumption that Savitz Rabban Lakula applies to Bishlakum? Because the Gemara tells the story, or the halacha, not a story. The Gemara talks about the halacha of what happens if a Jew and a non-Jew each do different parts of the Bishl. The Jew puts it on the fire, the non-Jew is hafachbo. The non-Jew puts it on the fire, the Jew is hafach, whatever the circumstances are. But in those cases, the guy was left alone with the food for some period of time. So the Gemara's assumption is that you don't have to worry that he did more than you think he did. Meaning, you left him to stir the pot, let's say. Right? Let's say that case. He's Hagis, but you left him to stir the pot. The Gemara's assumption is that you don't have to worry that he also took it off the fire and put it back on before it got to Machl ben Drusay. Why don't you have to worry about that? Must be, because the Gemara is working with the assumption before we even start that Safek Drabban Lakula. So that's the Gemara's point. The Gemara just points out that Mida Amrinan, the source of the Torah, might be from this Gemara, Meniach Ve'in Choshesh. Right, clearly we're not choshesh that this is what happened, that he's taking it off the fire. So the Torah gives the reason for the kula over here, Savit Rabban Lakula. The Rashba gives a couple of reasons for being mekel. The first reason he gives is also Savit Rabban Lakula. Now it's important to know, whenever we're mekel based on Savit Rabban Lakula, you have to know the limitations on that. Savit Rabban Lakula does not just apply across the board. You can't just say in every situation that comes up, oh, it's a suffix Rabban Lakula. For example, let's say you're able to be mevarer the suffix. The Mordechai here in Avodah Zarah, in Os Tav Tav Nun Dalit, an isur shenafal b'kedera. Yes, something usur falls into a pot. And then nishbechu amayim, v'lo yadina nihavu shishim alav. And then like it fell into a pot of chicken soup. But then, you know, a bunch of the soup spilled out. So you know how big the piece of meat that fell into the pot was. And you know how much soup, kosher soup, is left in the pot. But you don't know how much kosher soup was in the pot at the time that the piece of meat fell in. So if there's shishim, good, it's batim. If there's not shishim, it's not batim. But you don't know, says the Mordechai. Lo yadina, habisveka drabanan. Amnam hecha toho nishbechu. Ach enu yodeh l'sha'er. What if nothing spilled out? You just don't know how to measure these things. You're not good at measuring these things. You don't have something to measure liquids for your measure volume for you. Ein ze sveik drabanan l'meza l'kula. Sher ein ze kari safek. Dabar shecham yuchal l'varer. The das tip shenenu klum. It's quite a line, right? The das tip shenenu klum. Just because you're a fool, it doesn't mean that it's a suffix. Not everything that you don't know is a suffix. A lot of things that you don't know are just because you don't know anything. So that's the first limitation on suffix rabbanu kula. That if it's possible to be mevarer. Now, possible to be mevarer doesn't mean that it's possible at all to be mevarer. It means it's possible to be mevarer fairly easily, that normal people should be able to be mevarer. If you have to go to the other ends of the earth and you have to go through tremendous, tremendous cost and time or whatever, then it's not called efshel levarer bikal, right? And then you could probably rely on suffik. But sometimes it's a phone call, right? Being mevarer, you know, sometimes I get the shiloh often. Someone said, oh, I bought something that was OUD, and I put it in my fleishik pot by accident. Right? I cooked it in my fleishik pot. Someone said, I made a fleishik pizza, I guess no cheese, a fleishik pizza with just like one of these fancy pizzas with meat. I didn't realize the dough I bought was a dairy dough. Just got the shaila last week. The dough I bought was a dairy dough. Right? So do you say, well, when they market OUD, very often it's less than 1/60th of it. It's actually dairy in there. But you don't know that. You don't know what the percentages are. So we just say, okay, something's Rabbanan Lakula. You know, assuming it's Rabbanan. Let's say it's a suffix, but maybe you have a second suffix to attach, Svexveka. Do you call that a suffix? No, you don't call that a suffix. Why? It's very easy to figure that out. Who would know that information? Well, the company would know the information, but would likely be harder to get it from. The easiest place to get the information? The Ashkacha, the OU. You call up the Ashkacha. This was not an OUD case, it was a case of it was a Star K. So the woman called up the Star K, they said, oh yeah, it's possible, Shisha, don't worry about it. Meaning, there's less than 1/60th. So it wasn't Nisbatel in order to be used with meat. It was Nisbatel to use as a pizza cheese, you know, so it's not even a violation of Bitalis L'Chadchila. You know, don't worry, it's Batal Shishim. So, but that you have to make that phone call. So that's limitation number one. If you ever want to learn the dinim of Sfeikos in general, the go-to Maramakom, which would take you a long time, is the Shach in Simen Kuf Yud in Yeridea has Klalei Svek Sveika and like lots and lots to learn through. And it's not just the Shach, everyone else also in Yeridea Simen Kuf Yud. But the Shach writes that if a person has a Chisaron Yediyah or a Chisaron Chachma, that's not considered a Safek, not to count for Safek Rabbanan Lekula, and also not for Svek Sveika. I guess that's not really a separate thing. That's a similar idea. That if it's Efshar Levar Bekal, or a person just lacks the idea or the Chachma, which I guess is also Efshar Levar Bekal. You can say they're different things, right? Meaning maybe you don't have anyone that you can ask, but you just have a basic lack of yediyah over something, so that would not be enough to say Safek Drabbanan Lekula. And in the Sefer Shulchan Malachim, he quotes from the Sefer Ve'ilaket Yosef, who says as follows: Hadam Rin Kol Safek Bishul Egoyim LaHakel Zeh Dafka K'she'enu Yachal Levar Safek Avol Yachal Levaro Asul Alechum Nanei Asher Tevar LeHeter. How do I know that? Because Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerideya, that if the shochet is, I mean, let's say we have a shochet and we don't know, he shechted an animal, we don't know if he knows hilcha shechita or not. So what do you do? How do you know if he knows hilcha shechita? How do you know if he knows what he's doing? Ask him. Give him a bechina. What if he's not here? Find him. and give him a bechina, right? Or you socher a bayis on Erev Pesach, Shulchan Aruch Paskins. You rent a house on Erev Pesach, on Yudal Nisim. You don't know if the owner did bedik or not. So what do? Ask him, right? You always have to try your best to be mevarid the Safik. That's what Magen Avraham writes. Another rule by Safik Drava Nukula is the Safik Drava Nukula can be said when there's a Safik if there's Isser or not. But if we know that there was a Maisa that would Asr, and there's a Safik whether there was a Matir to the Isser, if we know that there was a Maisa to Asr, and there's a Safik whether there was ever a Matir to the Isser, so then in many instances we're not going to say Safik Drava Nukula. That's what's called Cheskas Isser. Right, that Safik Drava Nukula is, I don't know anything, so I have 50-50. Or I have a Cheskas Heter, assume everything is Mutar until proven Asr. But let's say you know that there was a problem. Last time you checked, this was problematic. I don't yet know if anyone fixed it. Last time we measured this mikveh, it had 39 sa'a. I don't know if anyone ever fixed it, if they ever got more rainwater. I don't know if it got fixed. Under such circumstances, we also don't say Safik Drabanan Lukula. So let's say, in the Sefer Shari Dei, it says, if you have a Safik, if the guy took the food off of the fire, HaSafikum Yesh Kan Klal Bishul Nachri. Safik is, was there at all a Bishul Akum? Talim Solkuhu Ein Kan Bishul Klal Vim Kein Basala Osro Misafik Shaper Min Safik Drabanan Lukula. But if the Jew puts meat in an oven, and the guy lights the oven in order to be miyavesh his peg or whatever, right? And he saw the meat there, so he says, the basar is nasar mishum bishalakum. If he saw it there, right? What was the whole case of the Gemara where you snuck it in, where he didn't know that it was there? Now, what's the suffix over here? The suffix is, you know what's the suffix in that case? How could it possibly be mutter if he saw the meat there? He didn't do it. He wasn't having kavanah levash, or maybe he was because he saw the meat there. So you don't know if he had kavanah levash or not. Here's what you know for sure: an act of bishul akum occurred. Do you have the heter that he didn't have kavanah levash? So in that case, we might not be able to say something to Rabban Makula, because that is not saying for sure. Not Sharidea says not, but we'll have to see soon. Maybe bishul akum is different. But generally, we wouldn't say Safik Drabanan Lukula when you have a cheskas is. Yeah.
If you didn't have kavanah, then we'd never ask him, why did I have to? Exactly. Never did anything.
So that's the assumption, that the default position of a guy cooks something is awesome. Then you have to start going down the list, which heterim do I have? Right? Do I have any of these standard heterim? Is this considered, I'm mesupik, is this considered something, is this salmon considered something that's nechal kamoshu chai or not? But there is an act of bishlakum. I'm just not sure if I have that heter or not. So that may not, we may not be able to say some type of makul in such a case. It could be in many statements by Mishlachim. It could be something whether something's nechal kamoshu chai, something whether the guy has kavanah to be mevashal at all because he's just trying to dry his kli in the oven or something like that. Another limitation that they quote about Safik Drava Lukula is that you're not supposed to rely on Safik Drava Lukula l'chatchila. Meaning, if you have an easy way where you're not going to have to be machnas into sveikos, you can get the same item from a Jew. So you can get it from the guy where it's a suffix whether it was a violation of Bishul Akum, or you can get it from a Jew where it's vade, not a violation of Bishul Akum. We're not supposed to rely on kulas, on sveikos, when we don't have to rely on sveikos. So considering all of that, considering all of those limitations on Safik Drava Lukula, it's important to realize that there may be significant nafkaminas between the two potential reasons why we're makil when we're not sure if the guy took the thing off the fire before it was machil ben drusai. Right? In the case that the Torah gave, that the guy may or may not have taken the food off the fire before it's machil ben drusai. So the Torah said, okay, so we could be makil. So Torah said, why? Because I'm Jabal Nukula. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba, Torah Sabayis Ha'aruch, Bayis Gimel Shar Zayin. Tam lahatir mishum de'ein l'goy hana'a b'siluko ad sh'nechush l'kach. What does that mean? A totally different reason. Not Safik Drabanan, it's not a Safik. It's kimar vaday. It's like a rove. That what guy in his right mind, you asked him to just finish up for you the pot's there, give it a stir every once in a while, it's all you ask him to do. Why would he take it off the fire and put it back on the fire? What, so that it could take him longer to finish the job? Like, there's nothing for him to gain from doing that. So that's what we call a ruba de lesa kaman. Right, what's the difference between a ruba de isa kaman and a ruba de lesa kaman? Are you familiar with those phrases? That's important to know. This, yeah. Right, majority or a statistic. Meaning, ruba de isa kaman is that I find a piece of meat on Central Avenue, or on Main Street, or on, I don't know, whatever the street is, Cedar Lane, or whatever, right? Broadway. And I look at all the stores on the street, and this meat could have come from any one of these stores. Now, there are, you know, nine stores that sell basar shchuta, that sell kosher meat, and there's one store, the one holdout, that didn't realize the whole neighborhood turned from you and still thinks he's going to make a living by selling non-kosher meat. So the halacha is that called the parish Meruba parish. So that's a Ruba de Isa Kaman. I can identify the stores, I can count them all up. I see all the rows in front of me. Then you have plenty of times where the Gemara assumes a rove, but clearly never did an actual study of it. Right? Like girls are basulos, you know, before they're married or something like that. We interviewed every girl and lined them all up. No, it's a ruba de lesa kaman. It's what we call very often in Shas chazaka. The word chazaka in Shas means five or six different things. One of the things that the word chazaka means is ruba de lesa kaman. Shachter often likes to point out that this is why computers still haven't supplanted rabbis, because there are certain things, phrases, he quotes, I think, are Ravid. Ravid had a gimmick where he wrote a Yud Gimel Midos Shatorah Shebal Peh Nidrashim. Like 13 things to keep in mind when learning Torah Shebal Peh that are important in order to... So one of the things is that you can have different phrases, different words in different places that mean exactly the same thing. And you could have the same word or same phrase in different places, and it means entirely different things. Like chazaka, right? Chazaka could mean cheskas gimel shanim of abayis, cheskas abatim, right? Abayis, asada, something like that. Chazaka could mean a form of kinyan, a way to be kodos, something, nol gadur paratz, right? A form of kinyan or karka. There's nothing to do with cheskas gimel shanim. It's a totally different concept, right? Chazaka could mean assuming a previous status is the way it was, right? Chazaka meyakara. Chazaka can mean so many different things, and one of the things it can mean is ruba de lesa kaman. That it's an assumption that that the majority is this way. So how do we get to that? So Rashi was telling us over here that lechara, that's what this is. This is a ruba de lesa kaman. That the guy did not take it off towards machleh. Just like, because why in the world would he? So the main nafkamina between the Rashba's reason and the reason the Torah gives, which, by the way, the Rashba also mentions of Savit Rabban Mekula. So it could be several nafkaminas. Obviously, if there were an issue on a daraisa level, Ruba de lesa kaman might be enough to rely on even for a din daraisa. Whereas, obviously, Safek is not enough to rely on if you're dealing with a daraisa. Nafkamina might be, what if it's Efshar Levare? Do you have a requirement to be Mevare? So for Savit Rabban Lekul, you have a requirement to be Mevare. What if you can't be Mevare, but you have it equally available somewhere else? Do you say, why do I have to get myself into Sveikos? So Ruben Laskam is on a Safek. It becomes like a Vadai. Can you do it lechachila? You're not allowed to create a suffix situation lechachila and then rely on suffix rabban lekula. But a rove situation? So these may be some of the nafkaminas. Now, Beis Yosef just points out another detail, and that is that there is another halacha that needs to be dealt with also if you left a guy alone with anything. And that other halacha is what's commonly known as basar shenasali min ayin. But it's really about any, you know, there's a siman in Shulchan Aruch about this. You ever notice that when you make an order from a kosher food place and they deliver the food, you need military grade weapons just to open the package sometimes? you know, it's got like this tape, like this impossibly hard tape that's wrapped around like in a million ways. Well, why do they do that? Because there are halachos about sending something with a guy. The delivery boy is very often a non-Jew. And when you have some kosher food entrusted with a non-Jew, you always have to be concerned that maybe maybe there was a problem. I mean, this was like my welcome to the Five Towns. You know, I grew up in the Five Towns. Like a welcome to the Five Towns moment once in DRS many years ago. They used to have a thing, I don't know if they still have the minhag, that every Friday morning someone else would bring in a challenge. A different boy would bring in a challenge. I think they stopped it because how can you trust with it? You know, so, but a boy would bring in a challenge. So one time a kid forgot to bring in the challenge, so his parents sent the family's driver to bring the challenge to school. So this guy, this big bulvana of a guy with sunglasses, I think he had an earpiece, I could be making that part up, and he comes into school, I have two of these challenges, you know, and like, there were no simanim, no packaging, no nothing, so you know what to do, could you rely on that, meaning, I don't know where he got that challenge, I don't know that he actually, so that's a task, Rabbi David Willard, the Shaila, what do we do? So that was when phones were just starting to come with cameras on them. So Dubi had a phone with a camera on it. So he said, Dubi, take a picture of the challenge, send it to your mother and see it, and say, Hakirna, is this your challenge? And if she's able to recognize it, that would be a sign on it, that would be good enough. Why would that be good enough? Maybe he took his Chazer Schmaltz, you know, flask that he keeps in his jacket pocket and he emptied it into the challenge on the way. So the halach is not concerned for that. Meaning the halach was never, the halach in Shulchan Aruch that the Gemara talks about is not that he might add a davar tameh into it. Because why would he do that? There's no reason that he would. The halach is that he might switch it out. He might think, wow, kosher chalent is really good. You know, Mrs. Dovi makes a fantastic chalent, or whoever made it, makes a fantastic chalent. But, I may gain a lot by switching it out. So there are halachas about this. So the Beis Yosef is just adding like a parenthetical point that this whole discussion assumes that, you know, that he didn't switch it for, that he somehow got around that problem of him switching it for something else. Now, while we're on the topic of Safek, there is a, it's kedai to discuss for a little bit. What qualifies as a Safek? I mean, we've learned lots of machlokas. You know, Beiso Shel Yisrael. Is that good enough to be Mekel? Hashlachas Kisei. What if we pask in one way, but it was a legitimate machlokas we showed? It says one way in Shulchan Aruch. So, now, for Savik Rabbanu Lekula, probably not. What about for a Svek Sveka? You wanted to make a Svek Sveka. Can you be mitzarif to a Svek Sveka? I'm not even sure whether the guy even did the bishul over here. And even if he did, it was Bebeis HaShal Yisrael. Maybe we pass him Bebeis HaShal Yisrael is okay. So would that be enough? This is a fundamental machlokas achronu. Whether something that's paske and is very nogel lemaisa, particularly to one or two people in the room, we'll see in a moment. Only one, actually. But we'll see in a moment. The Chuvas Rav Pa'alim, Yardei Chelek Gimel Simen Tes, was asked about a guy who was cooking in a Jewish home, and all the Jew did was turn on the fire. So can you eat from that food? Who was the Rav Pa'alim? The Ben Ishchai. So, in other words, Sephardi Jew. The Jew turned on the fire. So for an Ashkenazi Jew, no problem, right? The Jew turned on the fire. So Ben Ishchai says, Mitzad Svek Sveka, it's not enough to be Mekel Mitzad Svek Sveka. He said, Hayika Svek Sveka, was that? Savek Yalach Kamad Yamar Adlakas Eish Mahani Bishul. Maybe Adlakas Eish is good enough. And even if it doesn't work, maybe we pass him like the Ravid. Beis Hashal Yisrael is Motim. Svek Sveka, right? And it's a Svek Sveka Mesapech. It's an important rule of Svek Sveka. You need to be able to say it both ways. Right? You could also say something like the Ravid, maybe based on Shelly Saul's a heter. And even if it's not a heter, maybe turning on the fire is enough. It has to be mishapir. But he says, Mikol Makom, in this smok lahatir b'svek svekazeh, mishum dishnei asvekos, heim neged svaras maranzal, shekibalnu aroosav. Both svekos are against Maran. And therefore, it's not a suffix anymore. Once he passed into the Shulchan Aruch, end of story, sof pasuk, nothing to talk about anymore. Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul, similarly, Or Litzion, Anaf Peiz Os Dalid, Chelut Peiz Anaf Peiz Os Dalid, says, when he says Svek Svek, and Negin Maran, Yesh Omer Dain Adafka B'Dover Shemaran Echriya B'Lahach Mir Mikoch Sothik. Says there's a difference, you know, sometimes I'm willing to say Svek Svek and Negin Maran. What does it mean that he's Machriya Bo Mikoch Sothik? Sometimes Maran will say, Yesh Omer this, and Yesh Omer that. So what do? We have rules. You follow the second Yesh Omer. Yesh Omer this, V'yesh Misha Omer that. Oh, so we have a rule, you follow the first Yesh Omrim. Stam, V'yesh Omrim, you follow the Stam. Okay, there are all sorts of rules about this. But he quoted two opinions. Why would he quote both opinions if you're ready to pass, if he's going to pass from one or the other? Because he's leaving a window open to say, yeah, but it's still a suffix. And therefore, if you have some other sniff to combine with this, then this would count as a Svek Sveka. Aval, says Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul, Bidvarim Shemaran Pasak Petoras Vadai? The Mechaber wasn't uncertain whether Ashlachas Kisem is enough. Remember that, right? Remember that, Beis Yosef? He was pretty confident that the Rama was wrong, that all these Ashkenazim were wrong. Then you can't say Svek Sveka Neged Maran. And therefore he says, Umitam Zeh, Ein Lanu Lahatir Lechol B'Misadot Shel Yehudim Shapoalim sham nachrim vayudim madikim asayish bilvad. Vanachrim shenosim asasirim shalachori yesh lanu kan svek sveka. Safek like the Ravid, that is based on Shal Yisrael, and safek like the Jew turning on the fire, like the Ramah, is good enough. Says Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul, not good. So essentially, what Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul just do to all Svardim, you can't eat at a restaurant with an Ashkenazi Ashkacha. Right? If there are non-Jews in the kitchen, you can't eat at that restaurant. If there are Jews working in the kitchen, so probably you can, because what other issues do you have to worry about? Hey, find out that the meat is Beit Yosef, or whatever else. But otherwise, you can't eat Ashkenazi at a restaurant with Ashkenazi Ashkacha. Ooh, so what are we going to do for our Sephardi friends? Friends? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So there are poskim that say that you can make a Svek Sveka even against Maran. Who? So it's a little bit unclear, but in Yechaved Dat, Chelek Hesem in Nun Dalet, Yechaved Dat, of course, is Ravad Yosef. Somehow the names of all of his Svarim are somehow the gematria of his name, one way or the other. Some counting his mother's name, some counting his father's name, some counting, you know, is that, but they're all the gematria of his name, one way or the other. Yechavdat chelik hesim in nun dalet. So Yechavdat is much easier to read than Yabia Omer. Yabia Omer, he just goes on for pages, sometimes just quoting Mar Makoma. The chenkas of this and 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 like you never even heard of 90% of the Svarim that he's quoting. So like, but Yechavdat is much more to the point. He just sort of goes through the sugya. Like if you ever want to learn how to learn halacha, Yechavdat is probably the best sefer to use. Like as just to see how you start with a gemara, then you go to the basic analysis of the Rishonim, and then you like it really just takes you through it in a very clear and concise way. And then at the end, sikum, you know, he summarizes everything. It's a fantastic, fantastic sefer. I think it's that the Yechavdat is from the radio show. You know, Rabbi Willig spoke about the radio show that from the listening to a shir in the shower fame. But so Ravadi used to have a radio show. People would call in, they'd be able to ask whatever shayla they want, and he would, you know, like it's better than listening to like Mike Francesa, you know. Like, you know, so first time, long time. You know, I don't know if there was like a salutation. But Ravadia would. So with the radio show, he had to just sort of like answer it. You know, he didn't have time to do all of his research and to really, I guess, think through and sit. So it was just like off the cuff. Okay, so that's a Gemara. It's Machlokes Rishon. Like he was able to go, like, so he was able to keep it down at our level a little bit. So in Yechavadad, he was asked this Shaila. And he says, Gam Asfaradim ubnei Edut HaMizrach Yesh Lam Al Mashi Yismochu L'Sareich V'Lechol B'Batim Alonu B'Mesvadot HaKsherim Afal Pi Shatabach Shemavash Al Tavshil Mugai. Even if there's a non-Jewish chef, you can rely on it. Why? Kivin sheYisrael u'mashkiach al kashrus, a Jew is a mashkiach, and what did he do? Madlik ba'atzmo aseh shel tanur yabishul v'afiyah. He lit the fire. V'amachmir la'atzmo tov alav brach. But if you want to be machmir, it's tov alav brach. It's interesting, because Rav Avadia made like very public, strong pushes that the Sfaradim should have their own hashkacha, where they're careful about these things, and where they make sure that in Eretz Yisrael in particular, where the religious population, the Jewish population rather, is 50% Sephardic at least, and you know, so in Yalkut Yosef, he sort of explains, he says, Me'ata, afsha b'kol, Yalkut Yosef in Isser v'heter chelik beis, page kuf nun ches. Yalkut Yosef, of course, was written by Rav Yitzchak Yosef, the current Rishon LeZion, the current chief Sephardic rabbi of Israel. So many years ago, he wrote this, like 20 volumes of essentially like a Sephardi Shulchan Aruch, all based on the Pesachim of his father, all based on Rav Avadia's Pesachim. So in Yalkut Yosef he writes, Umeyata, Avsha b'kol machlokas b'fnei atzmi yesh litvos lahachmir kedas maran. In any machlokas where it's maran against the Rama, obviously we're going to follow maran. Mikol makom b'tzir of kol asfekos yachad yesh kan svek svek lahachim. But if you have two Ramas, you can make a Svek Svek out of it. If you have two things against Maran, you can make it. V'aftalo avdin on Svek Svek v'yadayim, d'dami lein v'avt l'nissi l'chadchilo. Ooh. But when you go into that restaurant, you're choosing to go there. Isn't that a violation of vein v'avt l'nissi l'chadchilo? Right? Would you go to a restaurant where you know that they have just a little bit of chaz v'shmaltz in every dish? Not so much. Just a little. Or a fleishig restaurant, just a little butter. You can't do that. In vatnas l'chachina, mikamakum kvar kasev haraim debelos asay avdim and svek sveka biyadayim, v'rak b'mitzvas asay lo avdim and svek sveka biyadayim. Wow. He says maybe there's chiluk between a los asay and asay. That if you're trying to avoid a lav, maybe you're allowed to make a svek sveka biyadayim. If it's about a svek sveka being mekayim mitzvah sase, then you're not allowed to make a svek sveka biyadayim. And he said, my father in Yechavadat was mekel, hamachmir tavol of bracha. And he said he used to advise people, Rav Yitzchak Yosef says, Rav Avadia would advise people, try to be machmir, but if you can't, you know. So what does it mean you can't? You're learning in the yeshiva. And the yeshiva is a non-Jewish cook. So what, you have to switch yeshivas? No, you're not the moment. You're not going to, you can't just switch yeshivas. You may not be comfortable in another yeshiva. You may not learn well in another yeshiva. So you have some reason to. So you could be maker. That's what Rav Avadia suggests. Okay. Going on a little further, comes along the Rambam. Source number four in Shulchan Aruch over here. He niach yisal gavei yish niach b'chav l'sham. Ha'afach mavin yadum silka v'chav matzlo yigel l'machal b'nisay. The case of the tour mutter. Why? Reason of the tour. The savik divrei m'lahakel says the Rama v'chein kol savik mishulei avdin chav u'chayot sebo mutter. Rama says I have two chidushim to add. Not only if you're not sure if you took it off before machal b'nisay, but any case of savik by mishulakum. And the second chiddush to add, not just any case of seven b'mishlakum, uchayot sebo is mutter. Very strange Ramah. What did he add? I mean, he claims to be adding two things. He's adding zero things, right? Like, is there a havamina that this should not apply to other cases of b'mishlakum, of suffik b'mishlakum? Like, there's something special about the suffik of taking it off before it's machal b'nisay? So you can understand why he wants to say that first half, because the example doesn't work for the Rama. What do I mean? The example doesn't work for the Rama. What was the example of Shulchan Aruch gave, that the Torah gave? You're not sure that what? The guy took it off before Machal Ben Drusai. That's what might have happened. And according to the Ramah, it would be totally fine. You turned on the fire. It's okay. He could take it off before Machal Ben Drusai. It doesn't bother me. So since the Ramah is not going to be bothered by the entire case of the Mechaber, worst case scenario that the Mechaber considered, the Ramah would say, it's totally fine. Mechabchila. It's okay. So I understand why he has to say, by the way, this isn't just a din in this case. This is about any real suffix of Bishalakum, even the kind of sphagos that I'd normally be concerned with. But then he adds another phrase, v'chayot sebo. What's v'chayot sebo? So the Taz gives an example, and the Taz says, v'chayin kol suffix, not on the v'chayot sebo, on the first half, pir sheish suffix im chita Yisrael ba'ar Allah. A case where you're not sure if the Jew was mechata ba'or or not. Is that a davar pashut? That's a similar kind of suffix. Meaning, I think the Taz is coming to answer, what's the Rama at? He's not just Stam giving an example. Then he's just saying, the Mechaber gave one example, I'll give another example, but it's all the same. No, this is different. What he's telling us, Taz is telling us, even when it's Becheskas Issa, you can be made to learn the suffix. Remember, we said before there are a whole bunch of exceptions to the rule of suffix Rabbanu Lakuda. One of the exceptions is when you have a Cheskas Issa and you're just not sure if there was a matir, you don't say suffix Rabbanu Lakuda. Says the Taz, the Ramah is adding a Gevaldik Chiddush. Because the Ramah says, V'chein, call suffix Mishulei Avdei Kochavim. Call the Rabuye Becheskas Isser. Not only normally on certain Sveikos Rabbanan we go Lakula, but by Bishalakum call Sveik, which means that there's this, in general when we determine halacha, we try to be down the middle. We're not leaning in one direction or the other. Lakula Lakum. We try to look at it, very honestly, straightforward. When it comes to Bishalakum, there's more of a tendency to kula when it comes to Bishlak. That's what the Taz is telling. More of a tendency to kula, so much so that even if it's Becheskas Isser, why, what's the case of Becheskas Isser? Here, the guy cooked this food. I just don't know if I stoked the coals. Where did the Taz get that from? Nobody got it. What? Oh, the Ma'ari, why is it in Beis Shal Yisrael? It's Mutter because he has Shoshal Yachta. It must be that someone, I don't know that someone really was Mechata. But it must be, it was happening in Beis Shal Yisrael. But it must be, it's a Safek, it's a Cheskas Yisrael with a Safek. Yeah, apparently, even though there's a Cheskas Yisrael, we could say Safek Rabat Makula. Good. So that's a great chiddush that the Ramah is adding in the first half of that phrase. V'chein kol savik shulei avichavim. What about those last two words? Uchayotzebo. What's uchayotzebo? Uchayotzebo of what? So the Chalkas Binyamin in the Biurim suggests that uchayotzebo can't just mean and the rest of all of halacha also. That will always say savik drabanu l'chum. Because first of all, that's obvious that we always say Savik Rabbanu Lakula, and second of all, it's not true. Meaning, it's obvious. How could it be obvious and not true? It's obvious that we always say Savik Rabbanu Lakula. It's not true that we go as far as the Taz went over here in every other area of halacha. That even by Cheskas Issa we're going to say Savik Rabbanu Lakula. That part's not true. So in Chalkas Binyamin suggests that v'chol kayotzebo must be a reference to other ma'achalei akum sugyos, kvinas akum, pas akum, and all the akum type of cases. That's where we're going to say savik drabanan kula, even becheskas issa. That's what the Ramah is adding with v'chol kayotzebo, which begs the question. No, what question does it beg? Why? What makes this different? So comes on the Chalkas Binyamin, Ubitaima de Milsa, last three and a half lines. ובתיימת מילסי יש לומר פי מה שכסו בשל שוב ושול למשר מהדורה כמה no, מהדורה גימל, חלק גימל סימן קובל לעניין פס אקום שיש בספק עם הכשירי ישראל the Shol HaMeshiv discussed the case of Pas Akum where it was cooked by a guy you're not sure if a Jew did something to fix it Shekasav the Kivan to Pas Akum Yisur HaMishum Chasnus and the Shol HaMeshiv says that since Pas Akum the reason for the Yisur is Chasnus Yesh Lomer Dekol Hechash Yesh Basafik Shema Huchshura Loh Shayich Ba Chshash Chisun that any time you have a Safik that maybe it was Huchshar you don't have to worry about Chasnus Loh Gazru Baklal what does that mean? Good. The Chakiru said the other day that all you need to avoid chaslos a hacker, something, some little. So a tzel shel safek, a little safek, is enough to say that this isn't going to create chaslos. And therefore, all of the chaslos related gezeros are included. That's the uchayotze over here. Now. Let's give some common examples of the suffix. You know, the Gemara's case we had, the Maniach Yisrael Basral Gabi Kachal and Bo Vichal Mahabit Bo. So, the Rashba, like we said, gives both reasons. Let's say. You know that the guy took the food off the fire and put it back. Let's think for a moment. Let's take the case that we were dealing with all the time. You know that the guy took the food off the fire and put it back. Can you still remake him? What? That's what you don't know. You don't know if he took it off before Malkuth and Josiah or not. So what would you say? Is that what the Torah is talking about? Is it talking about a case where you don't know if he took it off? Or is he saying, no, you know he took it off, you just don't know when? And if it's a case where you know he took it off, you just don't know when, I'm sorry, if it's talking about a case where you don't even know if he took it off, forget about Savitar Bal Nakula, it's Faksveka. Right? Pashtus. Especially the way the grub points out, you left him! You walked out! And therefore, if you left him, you really have no idea if you took it off. So it's mamash sveksveika. So what are you saying about lakula? This is sveksveika. So I think just the pashtut ha'ara, it's not a sveksveika. Because one of the rules of sveksveika, you gotta remember, sveksveika has to be safek. You gotta be able to say it both ways. If it's not a sveksveika, I'm a safek, it only counts as one safek. So how would you say the safek? Maybe he didn't take it off at all. And even if he took it off, maybe it was after Malkuth ben Josiah. That works. Right? How would you say it the other way? Maybe he took it off before it was Malkuth ben Josiah. And even if he took it off, if it was after Malkuth ben Josiah, maybe he didn't take it off at all. That doesn't work. Right? So if it's not a sveksveika, I'm a safek, then the chor, it's not going to work. It happens to be that this is like the most common suffix that comes up in Bishul Akum in a commercial setting. You have a mashgiach, you have a busy kitchen, you have a restaurant that is popular, hundreds of people coming in and out, lots of different dishes being cooked. So for a Svardi Yashkach, it's a nightmare. Why? Why is it a nightmare for a Svardi Yashkach? Because what does the Mashkiach have to make sure? That he's actually the one that puts it. The Mashkiach's got to be there to put everything on the fire. He misses one thing out of the corner of his eye. It's a nightmare. For an Ashkenazi Ashkacha, not as much of a nightmare. But what do you have to make sure? That the guy didn't turn off the fire and turn it back on. I was at a Pesach hotel once, and they were making omelets on Yantiv, or Chalamoy, or whatever. So they had the guy by the omelet stations. And the fire went out in one of the omelet stations. So one year that we were there, the guy turned it right back on. Continued to make omelets. That's something that Mashkiach's got to be on top of that. How's he supposed to be on top of that? There are a million different things he's got to be looking out for. Okay, that's a real issue. It happened to be the second time we went back to that same place. It had a different hashkacha, and they were more trained. And the same thing happened, because that happens. These little burners that they make, you know, these little movable burners, they'll always go out. And the guy said, "Ah," he screamed to the mashgiach, "Station shut down. You need the mashgiach to come." Right? That's what he said. Yeah, that's what you got to do. But it's a very, very common issue. Before we move on to the what is Bishul part, I just thought it would be kedai to go through a little bit of the notion of Shas Hadchak when it comes to Bishul Akman, when it comes to things in general. There are a lot of places in Halacha that we rely on, you say it's a Shas Hadchak, or Hefsid Meruba, or Lekavod Shabbos, and particularly in Bishul Akman, where we seem to be much more quick to be making on these kinds of things. In fact, the Ramah, in his Hakdamah to Toras Chatas, the Ramah says, "V'hinei esnatzel atzmi b'davarecha." What is esnatzel atzmi b'davarecha? I need to give you an excuse for something that you're probably going to find offensive about my sefer, the Ramah says. What are you going to find offensive? Shelo yichashdeni hama'ayin. Don't be choshed me that I'm a bad guy. You know, the guy who's the big posik for all of Ashkenazi Jewry for centuries. Buhu, kilafa amim kasafti lahakel behafsin meruba. Sometimes I write to be mekel behafsin meruba. O la ani bedavar chashuv, or something expensive for an ani. O la kavet Shabbos. Buhu mitam. He says, don't think that I'm just like always. Like anytime I feel a little lachatz, I feel like a pressure to be mekel, and I'm just giving into the pressure. He says, no. Every time I do that, hayanirali kaheter gomer alib de hilchus. Said in every single case where I am makil b'shas adchak b'efsim ruba, it's because that's what I hold the halacha really is. But we tend to be knowing to be machmir. But I would never say it when I thought la halacha that really, 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 honest to goodness, the halacha would be asra and to go against my better judgment. So in a case of shas adchak, Yesh lahamid davar al dino. We follow the Iker Din. That's what the Rama writes. Shulchan Aruch and Simon Kuf Yud Gimel Siftes. In Bishul of Kavim Kamachu Ben Drusai V'Gamru Yisrael Yesh la'esa. Goy cooks it to Machu Ben Drusai. Jew finishes the cooking. Says the Machaber, not good enough, because the Goy cooked it all by himself all the way to Machu Ben Drusai. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Ela im kain hu erev Shabbos o erev Yom Tov o sheyesh hefsim ruba b'davar. Erev Shabbos, erev Yom Tov hefsim ruba, okay. B'shas erchak hefsim ruba. To be make like the Ramah. Mechaber and Tshuva Safkas Rochel Simen Lamed. Same thing. B'shas erchak, shu erev Shabbos, erev Yom Tov hefsim ruba b'davar. Kivan demidi derabananu kidai hei manach rabos d'sharu lismach aleihem. Since it's a din derabanan, we could be somich. Well, so the question is, how exactly do we define shas hadchak? So the Ramah in Toras Chatos, in the Hakdamah to Toras Chatos, quotes from a Tshuvas Ma'ariv Mintz, and he says, "Ki lefa'amim timtza gaon sha'osa davar neged da'ato mitam o misiba ma aval da'ato nota shu heter gam." Something you really believe is mutter, but for some reason you have to be machmir. You're afraid of the message it's going to send to the community. You're being outvoted by all the other rabbis. Azim ba ma'isli yado v'ashoel ani. So even though your practice is to always be machmir, if the questioner is poor, or it's Erev Shabbos, Erev Yantiv, then you should tell them what you really think. So apparently Shas Hadchak is completely dependent on the person. Right? If a person is poor, then his whole life is a Shas Hadchak. He lives bedochak. If a person is wealthy, then it's not a Shas Hadchak. Which is pretty interesting. Like, would you say the same thing by Hefsim Meruba? Rabbi Neuberger from Bergenfield used to teach the Hechsher Kalim Shiurim to Smicha students in YU. So he told the following story. He said that when he was a young rabbi, just starting out, he got a phone call from a family that he did not really know, that lived in the neighborhood. And they said that they have old China dishes that are a family heirloom from the Babi. And the Babi's not religious. So, can you cash them? Very, very expensive China dishes. So Rabbi Neuberger said, well, and it's family heirloom, I mean, it matters to them. So, I'm sorry, got the shadow wrong. Dishwasher. It was a dishwasher.
I heard you saying
it was with the China or with the dishwasher?
I heard him say the
China heirloom. China heirloom, okay, so let's say it like that. right, because it makes sense. So he says, well, Ramesh has a tshuva that if you wait Yud Beis Chodesh, Chacham Tzvi holds, when you wait Yud Beis Chodesh, all the blios are gone. They just, they become so old that the blios are gone if you wait 12 months. See, even though after 24 hours it becomes a tam pogum, that's when you're able to kasher things. So even though cheres can't be kashered, you have the Chacham Tzvi that after 12 months it doesn't even need to be kashered. Then you have Shittas Rishonim that Hagolah Gimel Pa'amim works on cheres. Plus, this is a Hefsin Merubah, because it's a family heirloom, so it's Hefsin Merubah, so you have Yud Beis Chodesh, Hagolah Gimel Pa'amim. So if you wait 12 months and then you do Hagolah Gimel Pa'amim on each dish, so we can save it, because it's Hefsin Merubah. He said that he gave that psak, then he got a phone call like the next day from another rav in the community. Did you give a psak to this family that they can kasher? And like, you never want to get that call from another rabbi, like calling you out on, you know. So he said, yeah. He said, on what basis? Well, he said, he told him to have some merubah. He felt like it was a slam dunk. It's exactly what Ramesh writes in Meshuvah. So he said, well, when you told them that it's have some merubah, were you aware that they have two Mercedes parked in their driveway? Like, how big of a hefset is it for them? Well, it's a very wealthy family. They could afford to buy new china. So he felt terribly. He didn't know. He said he felt awful. So he went to yeshiva the next day and he saw Rav David, which is a picture. He went to Rav David and he said, I don't know what to do. I'm lost. And Rav David said, no, you did the right thing. He calmed him down and said, you did the right thing. It's the right psak. Don't worry about it. He said, years later, he sees a couple. He never heard from the family again. They didn't daven a shul. Years later, he sees a couple at a bar mitzvah or something, or at a wedding. And a guy comes over to him and says, oh, Rabbi Neuberger, Shalom Aleichem, my name is whatever. He said, okay, whatever. He said, no, you don't know what you did for my family. He said, my wife and I were deciding whether to become Bali Tshuva or not. We were deciding whether we should, we were not for him. We were deciding whether we want in or not. And I was way ahead of my wife in terms of commitment to this whole process. I was all gung-ho about it, but she was very hesitant about the whole thing. And I got her to the point where she finally said, if I get to keep grandma's dishes, I'm in. And we called you, and you told us we got to keep grandma's dishes. Siyata d'shmaya and psak. Right? That's how you know you're a tzaddik, right? You get to check off, you have such a siyata d'shmaya. Unbelievable. But la halacha. Is it hafsin merubah or is that it? Meaning, shasad chak, the Ramah's explicit, that if you're an ani, it's a shasad chak. If you're an ashir, it's not a shasad chak. That's the general dochak. What about something that's just objectively expensive, but you're a rich guy? Yeah. Oh, so that also could play a role. Meaning, if it's something that that is irreplaceable, so then it's not about the money. That might have been what Rav David, why Rav David was willing to be maker. So I thought I saw a discussion about this. Yeah. The Trumas Hadashin, Sim Reish Dali, writes, what's the Svara for Hefsim Aruba? So he says, Mipnei Shatorah Chasal Mamonim Shal Yisrael. The Gemara tells us in Nida Davav that Rebbe Paskins, like Rabbi Eliezer, that a woman that's had three onos of Shloshim Yom is Eina Metam Metaros Rak Mishar Sharasa, Daya Shaita. that we assume that if a woman is not sure when she became Tameh, we can assume she was only Tameh from the time that she knows she's Tameh. But we don't really pass on Rabbi Elazar. It's only after Rebbe realized that he made a mistake. He said, "Kedai hu Rabbi Elazar lismoch lav b'shas hadchak." And Rashi on the spot, Nida Davav, says, "Yeah, b'shas hadchak shnei b'tzoros ayu v'lo ratzu lahafsitaros." It was years of famine, so they didn't want to be mafsitaros. So it must be because of hafsit Torah chasal monam shei Yisrael. I thought I saw a discussion here about wealthy people. I don't know, I can't find it right now. But l'chora, there's what to talk about over there. I mean, it's at least a shayla. If someone is a wealthy person, whether you would say hafsid merubah for such a person. What?
Why is that?
Because we're going to be, she touches taros. And then she's metame them, and those taros are useless for people.
I know it's like kind of anti everything we're discussing, but do you take Baal Tashos ever into account? Like Hafsid Merubah from a billionaire?
So I think what we generally assume is that observance of halacha is not Baal Tashos. Right? Baal Tashos is needlessly wasting something. I think Baal Tashos is often misunderstood. Sometimes a person thinks, you know, I'm already so full, I already had 7 pieces of cake. But there's an 8th piece. Now imagine a person, there's a pie of pizza. So I eat 7 slices. But there's an 8th slice. It'll be such baltashchus to throw it in the garbage. It's a bigger baltashchus to eat it. Right? It's baltashchus to goofy. It's a much bigger baltashchus to eat it than to throw it in the garbage at that point. Like, you know, you have to. It's a baltashchus to needlessly waste. Like sometimes people will call me before Pesach. To throw away all the chametz. I normally don't sell chametz gamur. I have a minhag like that. I don't sell chametz gamur. But to throw it away is mamish bal tashchis. So unless the word mamish means not, then right? That's not true. Because you're doing a mitzvah. It's your chametz. So anything you're doing, b'toras a mitzvah, is b'toras a, you know, halachic requirement.
Does that play a role into once we're saying it's hafsid merubah? Like if it's just a lot, then it's a...
Hafsid merubah. That's why we do mechiras chametz to begin with. Hafsid merubah, not bal tashchis. Hafsid merubah. Meaning it used to be that Jews were, and still is to some extent, the Jews were the primary manufacturers of schnapps. So every year they have to throw out their entire supply. It was hafsid merubah. So that's why mechiras chametz started. Now we do it because you have a half a box of Cheerios left in your dorm room, you know, like, but they used to be. That's how Mechiras Chametz started. Okay, so we didn't get to what is Bishul today, but from tomorrow we'll get into all the different types of Bishul. We'll try to cover as much of it as we can.